Hey everyone, we're pumped to be able to share an exclusive trailer with you after the show. From Blue Wire Studios comes Golden Goal, Stories of Soccer Legends. Narrated by fellow Blue Wire host Brandon Kelly, each episode will focus in on the historical plays and personalities that make the sport great. So stay tuned after this episode and listen to the Golden Goal, Stories of Soccer Legends, wherever you get your podcast.
You're listening to Vegas Nation. It's Friday, which means it's time for Unsportsmanlike Conduct with your hosts, Adam Hill and Ed Green.
Hey, welcome into Unsportsmanlike Conduct of the Vegas Nation podcast, brought to you by Favor Shots. We're your hosts, Ed Green and Adam Hill. We thought we'd switch some things up this show because a plane is right, Adam. It's time for Fight Island. UFC debut on Saturday night in the island, and we were able to speak with UFC President Dana White earlier in the week, which was very cool. But Adam, you are the preeminent expert in MMA. I don't know the difference between an armbar and chokehold, so it's going to be
fun
starting
with you on this.
First of all,
I think you do know. You've been to enough fights now. I think you know the difference.
I'm not so sure. I pretty much just look over at you and say, what's he doing at this point? And we're on deadline, so I just write whatever the hell you say. So you could really make me look like an idiot by saying that's more of a takedown, and instead of it's a chokeout.
It was a blobbity blob, and you're like, whoa, okay, that's awesome.
Those blobby dobs are good. I had that back in sixth grade. I blobby blob Peter Sung right to the ground. You know this, and you've written a lot about Fight Island. By the way, a little pitch here. Adam and I will have a package in Saturday's Review Journal on the Fight Island, and with a lot of Dana White stuff. But tell people really quick again, what is Fight Island? Where is it? And why did they do this?
Well, it was a mythical location that everybody was very intrigued about and fired up about. And I think people pictured like just a little area cleared out, surrounded by pitchforks and, you know, tiki torches and
Tom Hanks and volleyballs.
Yeah, I think everybody was envisioning just a, you know, lined by palm trees and you could like throw people off of them or some craziness with, you know, the locals coming out and chanting or something, like some craziness. That is not the case.
It's
not the case. So basically the UFC is running events with no fans here in Las Vegas at the Apex Center. They did a couple in Jacksonville also. This is something that they've been doing, and they're comfortable doing it, but they've got a lot of international fighters that just can't get into the country right now for whatever reason. So they decided, you know what, we need to find a place internationally where we can get guys in and out. The vision that Dana White talked about back in April was, as you said, an island somewhere. Now, they found it, I guess, Yaz Island in Abu Dhabi, where they've done fights before.
I thought they already had that island. It's not like a new island. It's like an old island.
It was much more marketing than anything else. In the end, they secure this location once again, which they have a deal to do fights every year in Abu Dhabi anyway. So not really this exotic.
This isn't as cool as I thought it was going to be.
Well, it kind of is if you actually look at the property. Like, it's just a couple of hotels, a couple of restaurants surrounded by a Formula One racetrack, which everybody keeps posting videos that they can't sleep because the Formula One cars are just driving around all
night.
They're
there driving around all
like,
night?
All night. It's so weird. And then it's like 140 degrees. They did build an octagon on the beach. So like
that'll be cool.
But that's not where they're fighting. Like, that's a training.
Oh, they're not? Where are they fighting? Inside?
It's a little arena. There's air conditioning. It's a normal venue. So it's not as crazy. And then
it seems like a high school gym in Barstow at this point. I mean, I thought it was going to be like some exotic like place with Captain Steubing and like crazy people from the past on islands and stuff.
No.
This isn't happening.
No. There's definitely no Adam Waite fight with, Hervé's Villachez, whatever his name is. Like, he's not fighting. Tattoo?
Was it Tattoo?
Yeah, Tattoo.
Tattoo with Mr. Rourke.
Okay, now you're going. All I knew is that I don't even know. It's Hervé Villachez? I don't know.
Hervé Villachez. He was kind of a lunatic. Plane's a plane.
Yeah, I don't know much about the show other than that. But yeah, it's not like that. The cage on the beach is for practice. Nobody's using it. It's 130 degrees out there. It's just for show.
Tattoo got a lot of hot women. No, I'm absolutely serious because Peter Dinklage, who played on Game of Thrones, forget about it, Tyrion Lannister, he played Tattoo in a movie. And one thing he came away from is this guy got a lot of hot women.
Well, in the movie, they had to spice it up for the movie.
They had to tell the kid in real life he had a bunch of hot women after him. The guy's like, he was as small as me. How could that be? I think Hervé did well for himself.
I feel like you're buying into the movie instead of the actual real life. I'm sure there was a lot of misery and disappointment, too.
What, because of his size?
Just out there.
I had a very full life, that poor kid.
I mean, I'll take your word for it. I never saw the movie.
We're going to get to Dana White. It's probably a good transition, staying in the island theme. So Adam and I were able to talk to Dana earlier this week, and it was cool talking to him about Fight Island, everything that's gone on with the UFC. And Adam had a great question. You know, first of all, how did they pull this off? Why has UFC been able to hold these fights, not only here in Las Vegas in COVID-19, where other sports are struggling, just getting this stuff off the ground? Here's what Dana said.
I'm obviously super proud about what we've accomplished through this whole thing, from Florida to Vegas and now to Fight Island. But it's always on to the next, on to the next, on to the next. I'm telling you guys, the bigger problem that these other sports have is financial. It's the financial side of it. Because, yeah, if you look at the NFL as a whole, or the NBA, or Major League Baseball, their television deals are massive, right? Massive deals. But as you go owner to owner, you know, no people there, no parking, no concessions, and no live gates. Mm-hmm. It's huge. It's huge to the team owners. So, you know, one guy makes the decision over here.
Well, you heard him there, UFC President Dana White talking to Adam and I earlier this week. Let me ask you then, to this point, they pulled it off. We'll talk about testing in a minute, but to this point, I think they pulled it off probably a lot better than people thought. I mean, I always describe White as Notre Dame or the Cowboys. Like, there's no middle ground with him. You either like him or you don't. And right when he said they were going to do this, obviously the people who don't like him said, you'll never pull it off. You're never going to do it. There's going to be hundreds of positives. Are you surprised they've done, at least essentially publicly, this well with all of this in terms of the testing and pulling these things off?
No, because I do think, you know, the bubble concept is the way to have sports right now. They kind of figured that out early. And by the way, I've been there through, I was in Jacksonville. I've been at the fights here in Vegas. I'm not over in Abu Dhabi, obviously, but I am talking to enough people that are there. Like, it is getting better every time. And plus, you've got some oversight. In Florida, there was none, and they did whatever they wanted. Nevada, there was some really good oversight, and I thought the process got a lot better. And then in Abu Dhabi, like, the government is helping run all of this, and it's insane, all the protocols that are in place there. So I'm not surprised they're able to do it. And as he said, he mentioned it there, it's one guy. He says, this is what we're doing, and they do it. And the other sports don't have the luxury. Roger Goodell can't just be like, here's what we're doing, because there's a players union, there's owners, there's all these other sides. So they had a massive advantage in terms of the logistics of pulling these things off, for sure, because there's no real fight back. And you can just put these out there and say, hey, we're having a card. We're having a fight card. If you want to fight, you fight. If you don't, you don't, which is different than the other sports as well. And, you know, the NFL, which, you know, we talk about here all the time, they don't have the same, like, they're trying to put protocols in place. They're trying to do the right thing. They don't have a bubble, so that's different. And, you know, they've got all these other, you know, competing interests, which that's a good thing to get all the feedback and make sure everybody's on the same page and everybody kind of weighs in on what they want to do. But, you know, the UFC doesn't have to deal with that. So it's a much different situation.
So Adam's not surprised. And this isn't just about Fight Island. We said before, Dana White said his sport would be the first one back. It was the first one back. Adam also asked Dana, has anything surprised him along the way as they go week to week?
I knew from day one that we could do it. I knew we would do it. And, you know, I was willing to fight the fight to make this happen. To be honest with you, it all surprised me. The amount of negativity from the media, the amount of media that was media politicians and all working together to try to stop us was fascinating. I was really and blown away by that. These guys who cover the sport trying to make events not happen, and it was crazy, man.
They say a healthy gut means a healthy you. Favor apple cider vinegar shots bottle this feeling into the convenience of a 2-ounce shot. Better digestion, stronger immune system, and the lowering of blood sugar levels are just some of the benefits to shooting a daily Favor shot. Their proprietary blends are raw and organic and mixed with other functional ingredients to create a better tasting experience. First time shooters can go to drinkafavor.com.
So, okay, there's a love-hate relationship with him and the media. I don't know how much on the love part from either side. But I do want to ask you this, because you are one of the preeminent media reporters in this country who cover the sport. You know everyone in the sport in terms of media. Do you think some just weren't going to accept this and we're going to rip them from the beginning and say it couldn't be pulled off? Or, as you've gone along and covered all these events, you know, have there been responsible, legitimate opinions that said, look, this guy went too soon, this wasn't the right thing to do? And now they're going to this island, and you know, right, they've been there before, but we don't know if Tattoo's going to walk on the plane. We don't know what the hell's going on over there. Do you think there's legitimate concerns, or have there from the beginning, that they should not have done this?
Yeah, I think there is legitimate concern. People have expressed those concerns. And I think, again, if you have been around, that's one of the reasons I wanted to cover the fights in Jacksonville. I wanted to cover the fights here. I wanted to observe and see if they were doing the right things. And I thought in Jacksonville, they weren't doing all the right things. Nevada, they kind of were. So they've gotten to that point. There is a level of people that were on the outside that weren't around, that weren't there, that had opinions on it, that didn't quite know what was going on. And I think that's fair too. Like, everybody has the right to their opinion. I think what's happening here, and you know, we'll see it in the NFL, when the NFL makes announcements, you know, we cover the Raiders here, but we follow the NFL obviously very closely. When the NFL makes an announcement and they say, like today, you know, you can play the games, but you can't trade jerseys at the end.
That's one of the all-time
questions. And it's just so
dumb.
You
can hit the heck out of each other, bleed on each other, sweat on each other, spit on each other for 60 minutes or whatever it is. And then afterwards, please don't exchange jerseys. You might be too close to one.
And it's such a dumb thing. And you see all the media people lining up and saying it's a dumb thing because yes, it is a dumb thing. Now, in the MMA world, if reporters were saying that, Dana White would say, they hate the sport. They're trying to stop us from doing our job. Like, no, they're expressing their opinion. That's their job. They express their opinion on what's going on. So Dana White sees any kind of criticism or any kind of observation as, you hate the sport. You're against us. You're rallying against. You don't want us to succeed. Like, that's not the case. And you don't really see that in the NFL. You don't see Roger Goodell up there saying, the media is trying to shut us down. Like, no, the media is expressing that this thing you're doing is very dumb.
Do you remember when I first got to town many years ago and you had me write a UFC column?
When you called Dana White the white...
No, I did not! In the 25th graph of a 26th graph column, and it was, by the way, I've got to be honest with you, I think it was a compliment to Dana White. I compared him to Don King in the sense that it was amazing how he built his sport, kind of being, for a better lack of term, rebel and against people, but he built this great sport. Someone on the desk took that mention of the 25th graph and made a huge headline, Dana White, the white Don King. I'm like, oh, my, I picked up the paper. I'm like, who the hell did that? This guy's going to be crazy. I'm listening to the radio the night of the fight. I didn't go, but you're on with them. And the first thing he says is, who's this idiot, Ed Graney? Call me the white Don King. I'm at my house screaming like, I didn't do that. The headline, right?
Yeah, he doesn't understand the difference between headlines.
Ah, disaster.
I've had some issues there. I've got some 3 a.m. phone calls.
I'm sure you have. Well, you're up at 3 a.m.
And he knows that.
Getting me at 3 a.m.
Yeah, he knows that. Dead. So then he call in the middle of the night. He doesn't like headlines sometimes. Doesn't understand the headlines are different. But yeah, I don't think he gets the role of the media. He thinks the role of the media should be, you are doing everything to advance the agenda of us because you cover us.
Right.
It's in your best interest as a media member for us to succeed. Why aren't you promoting us? Why are you writing negative things? You should be saying great things. That's not how it is. And you know, in the NFL, we know that's not how it is. Like, there's certain reporters that are very positive all the time. There's some that are negative. But, like, nobody ever says, like, you're trying to shut down the sport. That's just how it is in the MMA world, which is a different world completely.
I remember one time I wrote on the Reebok deal, and I get a call from the PR guy. They say, Lorenzo and Dana want to talk to you, and it's, you know, I'll give you a heads up. One's going to be good cop, bad cop. I said, well, I'll tell you who the bad cop is. And I was right on the button. So it was actually cool. You also asked him, he talked about when the pandemic first kind of came into light and sports had to decide what to do and all the leagues had to meet with their people. We asked Dana White, what was that like around the UFC offices when this really first came to fruition?
Two things. First of all, we're the best. We're the best that have ever done it. And there really isn't anything. I always have the mentality, nothing is impossible. Everything can be done. You just have to be willing to work at it. You have to be willing to find solutions and figure it out. And I know my staff. I know my staff. The people who work here are just as committed and passionate about the sport as I am. The day that all this COVID stuff started and we really didn't understand a lot of it, I had a big meeting downstairs and I said, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I don't understand this. I don't know a lot about it and nobody does. If you don't feel safe or you feel uncomfortable, you guys can go home right now and work from home. Nobody went home. Nobody went home. Everybody stayed here. Now, I have guys that I've done business with for a long time in LA and other places. They told their staff they could go home. Like, people were asking, like, now? Can we leave, like, right now? And you know, everybody walked out of their company. Nobody did that here. These people are awesome. And first of all, I knew that. I knew that my team is solid, number one. Number two, I knew that the fighters would fight. and that we health and safety is something that we worry about every single weekend, not just because of COVID-19. And I know what I'm willing to do. We were looking at building our own lab. We were going to build a lab here, and, you know, we were just bouncing around all these ideas for testing so I was all over this thing from day one.
Okay, there's a lot there. Let's begin with this.
I wish they would have built the lab.
Who's running the lab? Fauci?
Dana,
The White House doesn't let Fauci talk anymore. Maybe they bring Fauci and give him a few ducats and fly him on the plane with a tattoo as payment.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Who do you want? Yeah. Who's running this lab?
No, I would think Dana.
Dana with the white coat on?
Yeah, Dana is he's a day-to-day guy. He has his hands in everything.
He's a chemist? He's already a scientist? What are you talking
about? He definitely would have been labeling the beakers or something.
You wouldn't have had any nasal swabs. He doesn't like that guy.
No.
He doesn't like the nasal. Although he got mad at the throat swab. I said there was nothing. When I got tested, I was like, did you even test me? Then I wait 13 hours for the guy to scare the hell out of me and say I was negative.
The throat is better than the nose.
No, there's no question about that.
No question.
You've been tested 756 times, me once.
11 now.
Oh, well. We also, look, he was very confident in all of this. Including, you know, testing everyone. The media bus driver, that guy probably got tested. But he also has to wait each week, I would assume, Adam, for his people to come and say, we only had one test. It's just a media member. They're idiots. Don't worry about it. I mean, he doesn't want the fighters and the trainers. So he has to, each week, I guess, take a deep breath. Because the one thing he doesn't want is 95 positive tests where everyone can say, oh, we told you so. We told you so. Here's Dana White on the call from as Adam asked him about waiting for the weekly results of COVID-19 tests.
You know, you don't have to be a genius to look at this thing and realize right now numbers are ramping up again. You know, all this stuff's going on. I always expect the worst. So, but like I said, there's no better group that works on the fly than we do, man. In good times and in bad times, we figure stuff out. There's always a solution to these problems, and that's always my mentality.
Okay, good stuff from Dana White. Ed and Adam here on the podcast. Give me your final thoughts. We haven't talked about Masvidal. He takes it on the short notice at 251 on Fight Island. What do you expect from the card? And, you know, should there be people listening out there right now, which if they tune in, what do we expect to see?
We have three title fights on the card and Paige VanZant on the card, which people get excited about.
Fight in her contract, by the way. Deanna Kournikova of USC, I might add. Completely hot, has never done anything.
She's going to get destroyed. She's going to get mauled in her fight.
Isn't she like plus 800?
Yeah, since her last fight, they're setting her up to just get murdered. They're trying to build a star out of Amanda Ribas, who she's fighting, which it makes sense. They're just trying to build her career off of it. But three title fights, all pretty good. And I think the Masvidal-Usman fight, there's a lot of heat behind it. I wish we had a real press conference. Instead, we have, you know, virtual media days, but that would have been a really good build-up, really fun build-up. They had a nice altercation at the Super Bowl this year, which was fun to watch. That's going to be a good fight. I think Usman should win it if he fights it smart. But Masvidal is, you know, as fun as it gets. He's a great story right now in the UFC. So I think it's worth buying if you're not a usual, you're not a usual purchaser of the UFC events. But it'll be a fun one. And, you know, it'll be a nice lead-in to, as they do four events at Fight Island, a nice lead-in to training camp for the Raiders.
VanZant, though, huh? Yeah, to market the looks. Wasn't she supposed to be the next Ronda Rousey? Then they realized, okay, she's not the next Ronda Rousey, so we can continue to market her.
From a popularity standpoint, sure. She was never going to be Ronda Rousey as a fighter. Okay. But then she went and did Dancing with the Stars, and she, you know, built up this whole brand outside of fighting, and she doesn't need to fight anymore.
Well, we'll keep a close eye on the island. By the way, real quick, how many fights on the island? They're not coming home right after the fight, so aren't they doing three?
Four fight cards over 2 weeks, yeah.
Wow.
And then back here to Vegas for a bunch of fight cards at the Apex again.
I would have hoped you'd been there. Point of contention, I see. Oh, you're not even talking to me. Listen, we always end our podcast each week with a quick thought from each of us. Sort of final play from scrimmage. This was good this week. You know, we're under the Vegas Nation, but when you get Dana White, you go with Dana White. And I thought he had some great comments. This, though, is on any topic we find interesting. Hope you will, too. And Adam always gets the floor first.
Well, I know we were going to talk about Jadeveon Clowney a little bit.
So make that your thought, because we can tell the bosses we actually talked about the Raiders.
Yeah. So I will. We ran over with other talks. So we didn't get to talk about Jadeveon Clowney. I think Clowney is he's an interesting, you know, prospect potentially for the Raiders. And I don't say prospect like a young player. Like it's intriguing to look at what he would bring to the team. I think he is a really good player. People talk about the sack numbers that aren't there because he is there is not a whole lot of like three down solid defensive ends that can not only be run stoppers but also generate a pass rush. And while his sack numbers aren't there, he is a playmaker in the backfield. He does, you know, create a lot of hurries, that sort of thing. And really, really good against the run, which is, you know, and very, you know, overlooked aspect of a lot of defensive ends, but he can do it. He brings a lot. And I think what the Raiders are doing right now is they're looking around and saying, hey, we don't have the money to sign this guy. He wanted $22 million. He's down to $17 as an asking price. The Raiders don't have that. But they're looking around saying, is anybody going to offer him a deal at all? The Browns, we thought, were in and had a big one. They look like they're
out. It's kind of them and the Seahawks, I think.
The Seahawks, where he was last year, but the Seahawks have added some guys, too. Where are they in terms of offering a deal? I don't think it's very high. The Titans have talked about it a little bit. I know the Chiefs were talking about wanting to bring. They don't have no money. They have nothing. So they'd have to.
Not anymore.
Well, Mahomes' contract doesn't kick in for a couple years, but like they don't have money to do it. So like, there's all these teams looking around saying, like, yeah, we'd like them, but where do we stand right now? So I think the Raiders are just kind of making this offer and saying, hey, nobody else is offering you a deal. We can't offer you what you want, but if you want to come play in Vegas and have the friendly tax structure, you might as well do it.
I'm going to ask you then, and I forget my thought. It's stupid. I was talking about the Ivy League. So my thought's going to just be a quick question to you. You said last week about Jamal Adams, if it took a first or second, don't do it unless you are a for sure playoff team where he can put you over the top. The Raiders, we don't think at this point, might be one of those. Let me ask you this about Clowney then. Not draft picks, but if I told you they've got to cut Gabe Jackson and his $9.2 million salary cap to maybe reach a million of 11 or 12, not the 17, do you do it right now?
No.
So you keep Gabe Jackson, move on. You don't go to Clowney.
Yeah,
you have to go over the cap.
I think Clowney, like, it's not the same situation because you don't have to trade.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
I don't think Clowney is a guy, like, as much as I think he's a very talented player, he's only 27. He has had some injury problems, but he has mostly played through them. Now, nobody's really seen a physical this year because you can't get him into the facility, and he did have offseason surgery. So there are question marks about his health. Only 27, dynamic playmaker. Like, he is a difference-making type player. But I think he's a guy that you're hoping you can get for what you offered him.
Right.
Like, you make the offer. If he takes it, he does. If he doesn't, you move on. But just I don't think you start.
Just convince him to do a show me deal.
Right. I don't think you start sacrificing other positions or mortgaging other spots to be like, we need to get Jadeveon Clowney. He's the guy. Like, no, he's
so
not going to be
Gabe
that.
Gabe Jackson
type of,
is one of the best guards in the NFL.
Yeah. He's not going to be that type of difference maker. So I don't think I would go out and do that. And by the way, you were going to talk about the Ivy League. Man, we have developments.
Larry Muir is waving his hands. We are over time.
We have developments just now.
Breaking news here on the podcast. We usually don't do that.
We
ever.
Don't.
Go ahead. What did you got?
Big Ten, conference only.
Oh, the dominoes are dropping.
Yeah,
right
they
now.
Are.
I feel sorry for UNLV. The constant updates on the opener against Cal. What are the odds of that at this point?
Zero.
That's not happening. You got to stop with the daily updates, those poor guys. Well, there you have it. We're going to keep you up with breaking news. That's what Adam Hill does. He breaks news left and right.
If college football moves to the spring, UNLV might be able to play at Allegiant Stadium.
That's true. They wouldn't have to go to Sam Boyd because...
Although the Raiders, I'm sure, are scheduling,
messed that up
scheduling and, concerts or something.
You imagine spring if you had college football and college basketball? What it is.
Oh, be tremendous.
It'd be incredible. The books.
I'm in for it. It's like
the books would go crazy.
The rest of this summer with NBA, NHL, and football starting and baseball going on.
Larry's killing me, but did the Big Ten really shut down? Conference only?
They're going to announce it later today is the report.
Keep your eyes on ReviewJournal.com for all your news. That'll do it for our latest edition of Unsportsmanlike Conduct, the Vegas Nation podcast presented by Favorshot. Remember now, these are new episodes of Vegas Nation every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Subscribe to Vegas Nation on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any other podcasting app. You can also support our show and leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. You can find all our coverage at VegasNation.com. Thanks to Dana White. It was awesome. Good luck at Fight Island. For Adam, I'm Ed. Talk to you next week.
This is Brandon Kelly, the host of Blue Wire's new podcast, Golden Goal.
Messi takes everybody on. Messi has got it!
From Lionel Messi to Marta to Pele, our show takes a deep dive into soccer's superstars.
2-0 and he's... What a World Cup for Megan Rapinoe!
From Zlatan Ibrahimovic's brash confidence with the play to back it up, to Megan Rapinoe's heroic outspokenness and World Cup flair. Each episode examines a personality of the world's game. We'll dig into Maradona's Hand of God performance and subsequent downfall. The teenage trio at Dortmund that signaled the next generation of superstars. and that infamous headbutt that slung Zinedine Zidane from glory. Golden Goal, soccer stars and the moments that made them. Premiering this summer on Blue Wire.